The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 to 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. I tell you, Jesus said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you will need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
The third reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
As you're aware, we're in the season of Advent, where we're looking not only back to Jesus' first coming, but also to his return. The third candle, the rose-coloured one on the wreath here, depicts joy, and is sometimes known as the shepherd's joy. The trouble is, at this time, at this season of the year, there are many people who are actually not very joyful. You know, it's nice today when the sun's shining, but those dark, gloomy days, that freezing, icy cold weather yesterday, the pressures of trying to get the perfect family Christmas, traipsing around the shops, looking on the internet, writing Christmas cards, stocking up the house with food and trying to make sure you got all the meals adequately prepared, getting the place tidy for the family to come. For others, it can be the fear of getting into debt, the fear of loneliness, and just grieving over lost loved ones. Spiritual joy is very distinct from happiness based on our circumstances. Or in the words of C.S. Lewis, our pleasures. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And you may remember we did the course Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And in that, Mark Green wrote, joy does not mean highly carbonated, effervescent people gamboling into every encounter like exuberant puppies. There are plenty of joyous Christian people who aren't extroverts, but are something about them, something luminous, something that makes you pleased to see them walk into a room, even if you never speak to them. A few of you here may remember Linda Thomas, and I remember many years ago when Peter Adams was rector here, Trish saying to me that every time that Linda walked into the rectory, it was like a ray of sunshine walking into the house. So this morning, I shall be looking at briefly at where joy comes from and what can cause it to subside. Now, when Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, he was not exactly in a good place. He was in prison in Rome, awaiting trial. He was knowing that he may end up being put to death. And just before this passage, the epistle, he said he's effectively telling off two ladies to sort their problems out. But he then starts off with this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, some translations use the word celebrate, something that can be seen publicly. Such exuberance can also be found in our Old Testament reading. The people of Israel are told to shout and sing for joy, for God has done glorious things. He is our strength and salvation, so with joy we will draw water. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Jesus knows us so well. He listens, he cares, he loves. We are always strengthened by the presence of a good friend, and there is none better than Jesus. You know, we know he's carried our sins. And the chorus of Graham Kendrick's song says it all. Our lives have been transformed. Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. You know, it's inside us. He just breathes through us with the Holy Spirit. And you recall that when Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria, he said, everyone who drinks the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Joy is part of the Spirit, desperate to flow out of us. But Paul commands the flow is gentle. It's so easy for extrovert enthusiasm to squash or frighten sensitive folk. Paul goes on to draw attention to a problem in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, anxiety is a very good dampener of the fervour and effectiveness of believers. You know, if you see a Christian who's always worried, it does not exactly inspire you. The root of the Greek word for anxiety is divided mind, and the same Greek word is used for worry. In our gospel reading, Jesus tells his listeners not to worry about a wide range of things, our life, what we will eat, drink or dress, and what to wear. There was some research, and it was found that 85% of the things people worried about never happened. 85% of things people worried about never happened. Of the remaining 15%, 79% was not as bad as expected, or the experience was a positive learning one. So 90% of the worries were self-inflicted punishment. So if possible, look beyond the immediate. You know, some anxieties and worries, yes, are good and beneficial. You know, if I see the as a leak to the gushing on the roof or on the hall, and you get something done about it, not just sit and worry about it. And also it prompts me to take action. But we can learn from experiences, so how to avoid the mistakes or to plan forward better. You know, if a person holds on to worry in the wrong way and really gets stressed about it, it's not a good thing. First of all, it's bad for your health. It makes you unhealthy, you get more, your immune system is damaged, and you will have something to worry about. And it's simply unproductive, because often some people worry about things so much that the time spent worrying could be spent sorting the problem out. But it's unbecoming. Jesus tells us not to worry, but there is a but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Paul also gives us the antidote, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now this starts with getting to know God by reading the Bible and prayer leading to worship. Now, we've all had low moments in our life at different times, and sorry for sharing this again, but several years ago I damaged my eye by one Sunday morning, and God was very kind to me. I had wonderful peace throughout it all after prayer, but there was one morning where I actually lost it. I'd gone to an appointment to the hospital, and I was saw two specialists, and my eye pressure was about three times the safe limit, despite all the medication I was getting. And I was told to go out of the room while they discussed my case. And I went out, and I was in a complete mess. You know, I was worrying. And I remembered that in previous instances, what I did was, I sat down in the waiting room and I started to sing to myself the song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And literally, within a few minutes, all that tension had gone. And when I walked back into that consulting room, I was at peace and all went well. But it was that question of lifting myself out and looking to God. And the words petition or supplication means more than asking. It's a cry of the heart. You know, it's being bearing one's soul. It's being honest. It's really allowing one's exposing everything to God as to how you really feel. And it's very humbling when you do that, but it's very rewarding because you know God will answer. It's nothing you can't manufacture. It is just being totally honest. Thanksgiving. Well, it's very easy to be thankful if your boss has given you a pay rise or promotion. But it's not so easy when things have gone well. You know, perhaps he's cut your hours or whatever. And there are trials. But if we can find those blessings in the trials, sometimes our faith will grow. In verse 8 on the epistle reading, we are commanded, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Psychologists recognize we are what we think. The way we think creates our attitudes. The way we think shapes our emotions. Everything about us flows out of the way we think. It is down to what our mind is most exposed to. Paul was correct. Our mind needs to dwell on the right things and on God, telling the Philippians to follow his instructions and example. In this reading, twice in the epistle, there's reference to the peace of God. In verse 6, that it will guard our hearts and minds. And in verse 9, that the peace will be with us. When we first became Christians, we have peace with God. But the peace of God is from the Holy Spirit. It's different. It's having God's peace within us. And it radiates out. And it accompanies joy. And that pair of it is so appetizing to those we come into contact with. And I believe that when Jesus returns, he'll be looking for followers who are filled with the Holy Spirit, with love and joy bubbling out of their hearts. So I'll finish with a prayer of Paul to the Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us. May this, and remembering to cast our anxieties before God, be our best Christmas present, so filling us with joy. Thank you. Amen.